There is an older song called A Heart for You. I don't remember the last time I sang it. I've sung it before. Otherwise, I wouldn't know about this song. I asked Bruce if he knew it, and he said, no, I don't know that, so that's why we didn't sing it today. But a couple of the verses of it go like this. Lord, give me a heart for You. Give me a heart for You. A heart that can hear Your voice. A heart that can know Your choice. Oh, Lord, give me a heart for You. Lord, give me a heart for You. Give me a heart for You. A heart that is pure inside. A heart where no sin can hide. Oh, Lord, give me a heart for You. Quite frankly, it's a song with a great prayer. A prayer that we can make our own as we say that to God and ask God to do that in us. It's a great way to pray to the Lord because, you know, I want my heart to be like that and like this song describes. I want my heart to be for God and for God only. For to be able to hear the voice of God and to know that you have heard God and heard God's voice. To know the choice of God as I know God and I walk with God to know what God wants me to do. A heart that is pure. You know, that's what the Scriptures describe for us, a heart that is pure, that's being transformed by God into purity. We're a heart that would have no sin. Oh, never fully realized ever this side of heaven, but someday. But yet we can grow more and more like that. And for my heart to long for God and to desire Him only. You know, does my heart live up to that? Well, no, it doesn't. I don't live up to that as much as I would like to. Does yours? I won't answer for you, but I could probably guess the answer. You know, one of the things that at the Knox House, when you're watching TV, you still have to watch commercials because, you know, we don't have one of those fancy things called the DVR that lets you skip all the commercials. So we still have to watch commercials ad nauseum at times, of course. Some of the ones that are kind of cute and fun are still the Cheerios commercials, and Cheerios has been making these commercials for years. You know, it's always a different variation of the same theme, and it's the theme where the dad is eating Cheerios, what everybody thinks is a kid's food. Dad's eating Cheerios because dad's trying to take care of his heart. You know, that varies as you're talking to the different kids and their understanding of that. But always the most intriguing ones are the little kids who don't quite get what all of that means. And one of my favorite ones is the one where there's a dad taking a nap on the couch. And when he wakes up from the couch, there's this pile of Cheerios poured over his heart area of his chest. And there, and he wakes up and he's a little startled, and then this smile goes across his face because he remembers previously having a conversation with his young daughter about eating Cheerios because they're good for daddy's heart. Well, she thinks she's going to help him out a little bit, of course, you know. Well, I want you to know today God is concerned about your heart. God's concerned about your heart. God's concerned about your physical heart, you know, the one He put inside of you that pumps and moves the blood around your body and causes you to live. God's concerned about your physical heart, and He wants you to take care of your heart physically and to eat right, to exercise, to get plenty of sleep. And God wants you to live your life in balance as God has intended for us. But you know, God cares about your spiritual heart. Your heart for Him, your heart of relationship to Him. Proverbs 4:23 says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. God's concerned about your spiritual heart and about my spiritual heart. But God can only do His complete work in us. God can only do His work in me if I'm willing to let God do His work in me. Same for you. God can only do His work in you if you're willing to let God do His work in you. So we are to watch over our hearts. Have you ever kept watch? Have you ever been the one to keep watch? Maybe Some of you may not want to confess this because your parents are in the room. Maybe you were the one and put in charge of keeping watch for when mom and dad would arrive home because you and your siblings perhaps were doing something you weren't supposed to be doing. Maybe some of you are the parents, but you remember when you were a kid doing those kinds of things. And you didn't want parents to catch you, so you were trying to get done before they got. And somebody was watching for mom and dad. Maybe you kept watch because you were watching for a family member coming in for the holidays or coming in from a vacation. My older brother is just that. He's older than I am by 11 years. And so when I was 11, he was 22, he got married. And before the summer was done, he moved a long way away. And so when they were, I remember being a high school kid, and at this point we had moved. And as we were in that place, we could open the curtains and we could see down the road that led from the main road toward our house. And when they knew they were coming, those curtains would open. We'd begin to watch, keeping watch for him. Maybe you've done something like that. On a recent episode of Blue Bloods, a bank was being robbed. And the bank was being robbed by while one of the detectives and his wife happened to be in the bank. And he was laying on the floor, and he, of course, was taking note of various characteristics about these people. He was trying to figure out how he could do something, but he never could quite get anything done. But he was watching, and he realized that one of those people kept looking out the blinds and looking up. Well, he discovered later that they were looking up at the top of a building across the street because they figured out the person keeping watch, or maybe the police officers who would be responding to a call, to an alarm, was on top of the building because he could see down the street in multiple directions. Keeping watch is important, and how well we keep watch can determine how well things will go. We, you and I, are to watch over our hearts. How well you keep watch over your heart determines how well things can go in your heart. Your heart is a precious jewel that needs protection, and you need to think of it like that. To think of your heart as this precious jewel that takes that needs protection. Now, the crown jewels of the United Kingdom. Oh, you can't see that very well. Well, I don't know. Maybe you can. Maybe you can see it better out there than I think you can. Anyway, I did this just for you, Sarah. The crown jewels of the United Kingdom are the regalia investments that the Queen wears at state functions. So it's not like she puts it on and wears it around in the house every day. But they are kept at the Jewel House at the Tower of London. Obviously under heavy guard because people have tried to steal them before. And at one time they were housed in a place and even one of the insiders was trying to steal them. And so now they are certainly under heavy guard and taken care of because collectively I'm sure we could not afford them. I'm not sure what kind of price you would put on them. But they are precious jewels and so they are well protected and well guarded. And if these jewels that are in these crowns and sabers and all of these things and quite costly if there's a cost that can be assigned to them are precious and valuable, that much more so is your heart. That much more so is our heart and the inner working. And the biblical term for heart certainly in the Old Testament would imply mind and decision making and all of those things working together as hearts. So your heart is so precious and you need to protect it and to be diligent over it and to keep watch over it. You're keeping watch over your heart because we need to keep sin out and to allow fruit to grow. If you've ever had a garden, you know how important weeding is. It is not the most enjoyable part of having a garden at all because it's just labor intensive. It has to be done. It has to be done regularly because you got to pull weeds because weeds will choke out fruit. Weeds will overtake and you don't even plant the weeds. They just show up. You didn't put them there. They just come and thistle comes and all other kinds of weeds and they just show up. You didn't plant those. You planted all the other stuff And you're babying it, and you're watering it, and you're hoping it'll grow and you can eat something from it, but this other stuff just kind of keeps coming. And you pull weeds, and you plant tomatoes, and you pull weeds, and you plant corn, and you pull weeds, and you plant squash, and you pull weeds, and you plant okra, and you pull weeds, and then you just keep pulling weeds because you have to keep tending it. Well, in your heart, you pull out impatience and you plant patience, and then you find yourself having to pull up more impatience. And you pull up stinginess and you try to plant generosity, and then you realize you're back around to pulling up stinginess once again. Or you pull up discontent and you try to plant contentment, and then you realize, here comes that discontent and I'm pulling it out once again. You're pulling out anger. You're trying to sow in peace and calmness and all of those things. And the next thing you know, here it comes again. Maybe in a variation of form, and you're pulling it out. And it's just a never-ending cycle. And the fruit of the Spirit described for us in the Scriptures, and those nine qualities labeled as the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians 5. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And we're trying to have those things growing in our lives as those people who say, I follow Jesus. But at the same time, we're trying to, you know, pull out anger and impurity and immorality and slander and abusive speech and all of those other things that are labeled for us in Scripture. And we're trying to pull those out. And it's just kind of a never-ending cycle. But it reminds us that we have to keep watch and that we have to keep on doing it. But we find some guides for keeping watch over our heart. The first guide is the Bible. Look at verses 20 to 22 of Proverbs 4. Our key verses from Proverbs 4:23. But verses 20 to 22 say this: My son, give attention to my words. Now, if you're a daughter, you are not excused. Okay, that's how they wrote the Old Testament. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. What are we not going to let depart from our sight? We're not going to let the sayings of God depart from our sight. We're going to pay attention to them. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Psalm 119:11, Thy word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I hide God's word in our heart so we don't sin. Keep God's word in the midst of your heart. Why? Verse 22 answers why. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. God's word is life to us and health to us. And that's why we want to have God's word. So we're going to keep watch over our heart with the Bible. And we need to listen closely to the word of God. Now, I realize, man, it's a big word, isn't it? You know, there's just a lot in here. And you're going, some of that stuff, I even though I've read it, I don't remember it. I understand. I can relate to that. You know, I've even tried to plug my way through Leviticus, and Pastor, I'll admit, I didn't make it all the way through. Yeah, it helps if you read the Gospels while you're reading Leviticus, just so you know. But along the way, in little snippets, and you can keep pressing through. I came across a guy a number of years ago that would preach a lot of interim pastorates. And he said when it started dragging on, he'd tell him he had a sermon series on the book of Leviticus he could preach. And he said, amazingly, they always found a pastor very, very soon. You know, when we're trying to do that, there's a lot in here. And you're going, like, man, you know, Pastor, there's a lot of stuff in there I don't know. And there's some stuff in there I think I know and I'm still confused about. Well, I think it was Mark Twain who said, I'm not worried about the parts I don't understand. I am worried about the parts I do understand. And there's a lot in here we do understand, and maybe we're not living by it real well. You know, see, this book is here to help keep a guide over a guard over our heart. It guides us in what we're to do and the way that we're to live. And so we need its guidance about how we live, which is different, set apart from, at variation from the world in which we live. And the reason is because God has given it to us as a guide for how we live our lives, and we're to live it in that way and in that manner. The second guide, keeping watch over our heart, is prayer. Pray through matters. Pray through various things in your life as you pray about them. Allowing God's Word to give guidance and instruction and insight to what you're doing and how you're praying. And it helps us. You use the Bible to help your prayer life. I know some people, you know some of them as well. They are great prayers. They pray faithfully, they pray diligently, they pray for people, they pray for situations, they're great intercessors. It just seems like that's what they do all the time. There are others of us, as followers of Christ, we pray, but it's always a labor. We're always having to strive to pray and to be disciplined to prayer. And, you know, you're praying along and the next thing you know, your mind's off somewhere else. Or am I the only one in the room that this happens to? You know, your mind's off somewhere else. Well, how do you help? Well, a lot of times I find using prayers that we find in the Bible are helpful. The model prayer Jesus gave to us is there not just as a model prayer for us to quote it verbatim, but really is a great guide for how we can pray. And I find the more I use it, the more it helps me pray. You can take other great texts like the 23rd Psalm, which is really written back to the Lord as a guide for praying and asking the Lord for some things. And you use those biblical prayers. Oftentimes it helps us. And then as you're gaining insight to Scripture and praying that back to the Father, Lord, I see it saying this to me. How do I put that together? How do I understand this together? Part of my Scripture reading as I began the year this year is reading through the Gospel of John and reading through the book of Hebrews. And I started both of those on the same day. I'm amazed at some things that I'm seeing in both of those books I had not seen before, and how they complement one another and help one another. And then how do I express that back to the Lord in prayer? So prayer is a great guide, and using the Scripture in our prayer is a great guide as well. The third guide is the church. Sometimes I think we leave this one out, but yet the church can help us as brothers and sisters in Christ, talking to one another, learning from one another. Part of the reason we as Baptists have had Sunday school for so long is because in Sunday school we have a chance to study God's Word together and gain insights, and there can be discussion. Well, what about this, and what does this mean for me, and how do I live this out? Or, hey, I have this situation going on in my life, let me tell you a little bit about it. And together we get some biblical wisdom, because we understand, we know different things, but together we get to help one another. And so the church can be greatly helpful in the midst of that as well. And we got to understand that the Holy Spirit works through all of that. The Holy Spirit is working through God's Word to speak to us. The Holy Spirit is working through prayer. The Holy Spirit can work through the church. And the Holy Spirit can work through our circumstances and speak to us in our lives as we're keeping guard over our hearts. But there's another phrase that goes with this that we need to understand as well. It says, keep watch with diligence. That we keep watch with diligence. In Proverbs 6... We find the instruction there that we are to go and watch the ant. Go watch the ant and see how an ant works. It labors hard with no one forcing it to do so. So, parents, if you're having trouble with your children, make them read Proverbs 6. Maybe they'll get it and you won't have to force them to do so. A word to is sufficient. Anyway, it's terrible sometimes to be the kid of the pastor and he can say things in front of everybody. But anyway, a great reminder to all of us. It tells us, go watch the ant who works diligently. Nobody forces it. It gets ready for winter. We know something about that. You get ready for winter at the appropriate time, works diligently, it works vigorously. Well, the same thing is to be applied to us keeping watch over our heart. We're to be diligent. We're to be doing the right things at the right times all the way along. We're not to give up and to give in to it. We can't take a day off from keeping watch over our heart. You just can't do that. You can't take a day off from being diligent and watching over your heart, because that's the day that that Satan will be the hardest in the day that you can go off track. And you could think, well, this is just not going to be a bad day. This is going to be an okay day. I don't have to be as diligent. I don't have to be as focused in on it. But no, because you never know when that attack will come. There were two lumberjacks who went out to chop wood. One was a newbie, rather young, eager lumberjack, and the other one was an older man, quite experienced. And they went out and they started about the same time, and the new guy just started chopping wood and was fast and was vigorous, and the older guy sat down and pulled out his whetstone and his axe, and he sharpened his axe, and he got up and started chopping wood. And after a while, he sat down again. Again, pulled out his whetstone, his axe, sharpened the axe, and the newbie just keeps going. And matter of fact, the new guy is kind of making fun of the older guy because he thinks he's just not working very hard. But when they get to the end of the day, the older guy's pile of wood was bigger than the younger guy's pile of wood. Even though it appeared he was not working as hard and he was not working as diligently, no, he was doing the right things. He was sharpening his axe, and his axe worked better, and he cut wood faster when he was swinging his axe than the new guy who didn't bother to stop and sharpen his axe and was trying to cut wood with a dull axe. One was diligent and the other one was not. Sometimes diligence can look like different forms, and sometimes we have confused diligence with this active go, 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 go. But sometimes that diligence is stopping, sitting down. Sometimes, quite frankly, if you're trying to have a devotional time every day, you're actually being countercultural. Because our world tells us we need to be busy, we need to be fast, we've got to be going. But when you stop with ancient words laid in your lap, reading them, and spending time talking to one and listening to his voice of one you cannot see and put your hands on, and the world just thinks that's odd, if not that we've absolutely lost our marbles. But it is diligence. And it's needed and necessary to keep watch over your heart. Why do we want to do all of that? Because the Scripture says, flowing from your heart are the springs of life. How you're going to live your life is going to flow from your heart. Flows out of your heart. Is it sin flowing out of your heart? Or is it fruit from the Spirit of God? Is it those weeds of sin, or is it fruit from the Spirit of God? Which one of those is flowing out of your heart? And sometimes we can think, oh, I've got fruit flowing out of my heart. But that means we also need to stop and sit down and take inventory and allow the Spirit of God to reveal to us, is it really fruit? Are there some, even in the midst of that, are there still the weeds of sin growing in our lives that need to be removed and need to be plucked out, because that precious jewel of our heart, we've not been quite as diligent keeping watch over it as we thought we were? And we've dropped our guard, and Satan has stolen some of the jewel of our hearts. The evidence is going to be seen in your words and your deeds and your actions and your attitudes. And of course, the ultimate judge of all of that is God. But God will speak to us and reveal those things to us. And He'll use the Word of God to reveal that to us, and He may use a sister or brother in Christ to reveal that to us, and He may use our prayer life in conjunction with all of those things, and speak to us and affirm things that are going well, and affirm growth and maturity and positive action, but at the same time reveal to us sinful behaviors that need to be repented of and changed and filled with new behaviors. Are you keeping watch over your heart, protecting it and paying attention to it? If you want real life, the good life, the abundant life that Jesus talked about in John 10:10. Jesus said that He came to give us an abundant life, a full life. It flows out of a heart that lives and walks with God. It's not found in an inflating bank account or an enormous house or a fancy car. It's not found in the prestige of escalated positions. All of those kinds of things. Now, there can be people in those kinds of positions and have a full life. Yes, absolutely. But that is not the full life. The full life is found in a relationship with God that has a heart that's being watched over with all diligence so that the springs of life can flow from it, so that the life that Jesus Christ offers to us can flow from it. And first of all, it begins with trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you've never done that, that's the place to begin. To give your life to Jesus. But if you have done that, then it's learning to keep watch over your heart with all diligence to allow the springs of life to flow from your heart.